Welcome to Coupled, a relationship and marriage podcast with Okezie and Chineze, where the help couples see each other through the lens of God. Be blessed.
I'm going to beat you to this, babes. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of our podcast.
Yeah, hi, guys. Welcome back to Coupled. Wow, it's been a while.
Yes, Coupled with Kez and Nez. It's been a real long while. A real long while. We'd like to first apologize to our viewers. So much has happened, but we've come out of it stronger, and we've learned one thing. Never be faced by the things that happen around you. If we would fulfill whatever God has called us to do, we must learn to persist.
Yeah, we must learn to persist. We must learn to keep the banner flying, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're all in the battlefront, and, you know, we're all part of the Lord's army.
I mean, in fact, I remember what we learned in church yesterday when Pastor was preaching about, you know, I think we read from Isaiah chapter 9 verse 7, or from 6 and 7 from the New Living Translation, when the Lord was, Isaiah prophesied about the coming of the Lord, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And then he talked about, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the throne of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. And then to order to establish it upon the throne of David. And he kept talking, and then in the end he says, the passionate commitment of the Lord will make it happen.
Yeah.
The KJV version says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. And you know what I picked out from what Pastor said? You see, it's going to take your passionate commitment to make certain things happen. Even God needs a passionate commitment to make some things happen.
Sure.
If you're not enthusiastic, if you get faced by any little hindrance or any little opposition, you may never be able to do what God has called you to do.
And you know, there are issues in this life, they will never end.
And trust me, it happens in marriage. A lot of people, I mean, I think the patience threshold in this season amongst marriages, couples, people are not able to withstand certain things. You know, any little thing, someone just shows up and say, you know what, I'm done with this marriage.
Yeah, that's true. I think, like you said, we're no longer patient.
Yes.
Our commitment level to marriage, first as a covenant,
yes,
as against marriage for companionship or for the fact that you just want to earn a social status. Just knowing that this is a covenant, and with every covenant, you keep to your own part of it. I mean, so it takes two to tango. And I think I don't know what it is, but I just think that the world too has given us a view of marriage in recent times. And so people are no longer guided by the word. So they're more intrigued by, you know, what the world is saying, and the kind of maybe role models, mentors that they have. And I don't think people are breaking these things down to the real truth.
Yeah. And you know, everybody has a voice now. Everybody has a voice on Instagram. Everybody has a voice on Facebook Live, on YouTube, and
which
all
is
that.
Not so bad.
It's not bad, but you know, at this point we need to heed the words of our Lord Jesus, who said, be careful what you hear.
So be discerning.
Spirits. Yeah, learn how to spit the sticks and just eat the fish.
Okay. Yeah. So how do you know that Kez is back? If he doesn't give you something to go and worry your brain with your dictionary. But well, thank you very much.
It's actually a twist.
Okay, so.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, you eat the meat and you spit the bones, but I just, you know.
You just put your, that's what we're trying to say.
I brought a twist to it.
Yeah, so we're going to include that into the Oxford, what do they call those things?
I hear you again. So, you can say that again.
Yeah, so guys, it's so good to be back here. And it's been a good quiet season for us.
Yes.
Amidst all the happenings, it's also been a very good time to reflect and, you know, just reorganize. And I hope that you, on your own part, you've been making the effort in your marriage, in that relationship that is leading you to marriage. And you've been putting your best foot forward and presenting your best self all the time to that union.
Yeah, awesome, awesome, awesome. So what we're going to talk about today, I was just hinting to my wife. I try to take walks in the mornings, and when I take those walks, I try to reflect, I try to pray, and I try to think. And on one of those mornings, a thought crossed my heart. I was thinking on Ephesians chapter 5, you know, in the other verse says, from verse 18, it says, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then from there, it goes on to the issue of submission. And the first thing it starts with is, all of you be subject to one another. And then the next verse, it now says, wives, submit to yourselves to your own husbands. And then after that, it now says, husbands, love your wives. And then I now started thinking about it, this issue of submission and loving. And I started asking the Lord, which comes first? Who should bail the cat in the home? Is it the husband or the wife? And the Lord came up with a question. He answered me back with a question. And he said, between Christ and the church, who made the first move?
Mm.
And that answered the whole question for me. And this scripture just came to my heart saying, in Romans 5, that God commends his love towards us, or God demonstrates his love towards us, in that
while we're yet sinners,
Christ died for us.
True.
And then Jesus said, the church was not in it. There was no church to even think about submission. He had to lay down his life first, create that atmosphere of love.
So more like leading by example.
Leading by example. Create that atmosphere of love for submission to thrive.
Okay.
Submission thrives perfectly, ideally, in a Christian home, when the man begins to take the initiative to create that atmosphere of love and sacrifice and self-denial on his part. When he creates that atmosphere, it makes it easier for the wives to submit. Remember what John said in 1 John. We love because he loved us first.
And just to buttress what you just said, I had a conversation with a friend this week, and it was still around this. I brought in this scripture in the process of trying to navigate the conversation. And it was just more like about when the man sits down and, you know, wants, not like he just wants to be the head. And I think according to culture, looking at where we are coming from, culture has made it in such a way that a man can sit down, fold his legs, do stuff. You're doing about the same thing he's doing, more like you're also going to work, he's going to work, you're coming back, you're sorting kids, you're doing this and doing that, and you still have to come and, you know, take care of the man's needs as well. And then maybe in that process, he's also maybe going to say something, or how will I put it, maybe complain or make a remark about something that he feels is not going on well in the home, and you're feeling really exhausted as the wife and all that. Then we got talking about it, and I brought up this scripture to actually say, you know, if everybody just if some of our husbands or men can also just see that if I just loved her, if I just looked at it that Jesus came to serve, and so I'm serving this woman, right? I'm serving in this relationship, and then they do that. It's just like what you're saying. I'm just getting back to creating that atmosphere. Now, when somebody does, there's some, you know, just knowing that I was still not even deserving, and Jesus died for me.
Yeah.
Now, when I've come into an understanding of how deep that love is, it makes me want to also go the extra mile for the gospel. I don't have to
genocide.
It makes me want to say, I don't want to do anything to hurt this man.
Awesome.
I don't want to do anything to hurt. Look at what God did for me. And that's part of our Christian walk. So you're living your life in the daily consciousness that not in fear of, oh, I don't want to go to hell, I don't know, but just with that reverence and you also, you know, responding to that love and saying, how can I do this and sin against God? You know, you just want to do stuff. You're just motivated to always want to give your best to God.
Awesome.
And things like that. So
absolutely.
If that happens, if husbands see that way, it just makes it easy. Submission becomes easy.
Perfect. Ideally, That is how it should work. And so this is to the men. This is to the men and the married men and to the people that are getting ready to, you know, tie the knots. It's important to learn that as the man, you create the culture for love and submission to thrive in your home. Mm. We may not be perfect, but that's the ideal.
Yeah, that's the ideal.
And that's what you should be gunning for. Trust me, you're very right, babes, when you talked about the issue of a lot of things we're doing. They were cultural traditions. They were traditions handed over from our fathers, who may not have known any better. Mm. I mean, in a typical African home, the woman takes care of the kitchen and the man is the one that goes hunting. In fact, that's where you get the word breadwinner, because he's the one that wins the bread mm-hmm. and brings it home, and the wife processes the bread for the family. But things are changing.
Things have changed a lot.
Things have changed a lot. I agree with you. But the Bible still stays same. So you can see how awesome the Bible is. I mean, this was during the time of slavery. And yet the Bible is saying, husbands, create that atmosphere in the same way Christ did it. So if I as a man, I'm thinking, how do I create that atmosphere in my home? Mm-hmm. Is to go and think, what did Christ do? Christ mm-hmm. pursued us with his love. Mm-hmm. Even before we were ready to submit, even before we knew what submission was, he went and did everything for us. Mm-hmm. Without us even knowing him.
Yeah.
And so when we come and discover what he's done, our natural response is to say, we love you back. And that love is submitting to his will, mm-hmm. knowing that he has our best interest. You know, a woman would trust a leadership that she knows has the family's best interests.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, just also saying, you know, how that scripture, I think it's still there. Where we're talking about what we're getting at, I think, is it that part that goes for that to say he washed us by the blood?
That's further down in Ephesians 5, yeah, where he says that he through the washing of the water by the word.
So, I mean, there's so much. I'm just trying to buttress what you're saying about, what's that last thing you said now? I lost my trail of thought.
Okay, I was talking about you creating an atmosphere where love can thrive. And it makes it easier for the spouse to submit.
You were saying something about trusting the leadership of someone who has the best interest of the family. Yeah, so what am I trying to say as well is, so you're looking out for the best interest of your wife. And now this is like, because we're coming from we're addressing the husband's love your wife part. It's also thinking about her. So it's just like how, I remember when we used to have those kind of conversations where we want to know, What are our plans for it? What's my plan for you? What's your plan for me? Mm. So I would trust you, your leadership, when I know that this guy has he's thinking about me. Yeah, he has a plan. There's something he's, you know. So I'm also dreaming. I'm seeing that plan with you. I'm seeing how you're leading me into that plan. Mm. It makes it easy for me to just follow, you know.
But when I tell you, okay, babes, I don't think you should do this right now. Focus on this right now. You will trust me that, oh no, he's always, I can see that he has demonstrated this love.
Exactly. Wow.
I'm also learning on that one.
Yeah.
So guys, I'm learning now. In fact, this conversation now is teaching me what I should be doing. Awesome. Awesome. Beautiful, beautiful babes. But because of time, I think we should also look at the flip side of the coin.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are women in their homes that, I mean, your husband doesn't even know what it means to the issue of the love thing, but you're already in the home.
Yeah. Yeah, so like you married someone, or maybe you married when you were not yet in Christ.
Maybe
you felt you missed out on your judgment of,
oh yes,
or you married, there was error in your judgment you met your spouse. I mean, that's what you feel, and so you're now in that relationship. I'm just helping you.
Oh, beautiful. And then, would it be an excuse for you not to submit?
No. So, we're all learning.
Yes.
Right. So these things. Our eyes every day should be on Jesus and what he did. So, and we're all striving towards that. It sometimes may look difficult when somebody is not loving you and you're feeling like I have to submit, or when he's not breadwinning and you are the winner. And you're winning bread, you're doing every other thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it still feels like he wants that respect and all of that. The truth is, we should still submit. We should still, as tough as your flesh wants to make it look, because it's a thing of you battling with your flesh, you know. It's about that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak kind of thing. Your flesh is telling you, no, 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 no. You can't take that. You can't. But when you're in tune more with your spirit, you know that this is the right thing to do. And, you know, you were mentioning 1 Peter 3. I think that's the part that talks about, is that the one that talks about the unbelieving spouse being made?
I really wanted for the benefit of people. I love the word of God, and it's always important to use it to support what we're saying. You know, 1 Peter 3, 1, babes, just listen to this. It's very interesting. It said, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Conversation is an Elizabethan term. Conversation actually means manner of life.
Okay.
So, but what is interesting to me is chapter 3, verse 1, it says, likewise. So likewise is actually means similarly.
Yeah.
In the same way. So what is it trying to say likewise to? We should go back to chapter 2. What is chapter 2 saying? It says here in chapter 2, it's from verse 19, it says, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience towards God endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and you suffer for it, you take it patiently, it's acceptable with God. Also, it didn't even stop there. It says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Look at verse 22. It says, he did no sin. There was no guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile again? Who, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Awesome thing here. So when he says likewise means similarly. How did Christ suffer for us and say we should walk in his steps? It says he did no wrong. When they insulted him, he kept quiet. Yes.
God help us.
Yes. You see, but this is the word. This is just the word of God.
Yeah.
It says, when he was reviled, he did not revile again. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But what did he do? He committed himself to him that judges righteously. You see, sometimes we take matters into our own hands as spouses when things are not going our way.
True.
But Jesus here, the Lord is speaking through Peter and is saying, you know what? If you need me to judge righteously in your home, why don't you do it my way? Follow my steps. That's why he says, he suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should do what? Follow in his steps. That when they reviled and abused him, he did not say anything. When they treated him badly, when he suffered, he did not threaten. How many threaten in their homes? I'm just showing you the ideal. This is the word of God. And the word of God is true. It's not changed by any circumstance. But what did he do? Did he feel the grief? Did he feel the pain? Yes. But what did he do? He said he committed himself to him that judges righteously. I like that expression and description of God. God judges righteously.
So he sees everything you're going through.
He sees everything that goes on in your home. I just want to point out this. An example of God seeing the things that go on in your home. If you go to Genesis, I think Genesis 29 or 30, when Jacob had moved to the house of Laban, when Leah was foisted on Jacob, and Jacob later married Rachel, that's when you see the display of family politics. Bible says that Jacob loved Rachel, but it never mentioned his reaction towards Leah. And there was something Bible now said, and I love that expression. It says that when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. Interesting. And I asked myself, so God was actually watching what was going on in Jacob's home.
And Jacob was justified.
Yes.
I mean, by natural standards, he was justified because the agreement
he had. This
isn't
what I wanted.
This is the person I said I want. Yes. And then you give me this other. Baby, it's tough.
It's tough. But you know, we must go beyond looking at it. You see, it's still that self-serving. It's the self-serving gospel that we hear that makes us feel everything should fit into our plan.
We
exist for God's pleasure.
Exactly.
That's one of the key things that should be driving our philosophy of life. When we understand that we're here to please somebody, when we understand that our lives do not just end on the earth, we'll begin to live like people that prepare for a life after life. That the life beyond this life.
This life.
You know. It just intrigued me that God is even interested in what goes on in our homes.
He is.
The unspoken things. Because Jacob never told Leah, I hated you.
Yeah, he is. He's listening to what you're not saying.
Awesome.
He's listening to your heart.
He's listening to what you are not saying.
Exactly.
Jacob never told Leah, I hate you. But the Lord saw.
So in his heart that he probably, you know.
I mean,
he just resented her. Yeah. Yeah.
But she was the only person that kept giving him children for a time. So awesome. I really like what you said. You know, he's listening to our hearts. He's listening to our reactions. And for the wife that may be in such a situation, you go on and submit. As long as it's not getting physically abusive and threatening your life.
Yeah, and it's not making you do things that are against the word of God.
The word of God. Awesome. You go on and keep submitting and committing yourself to him
that judges righteously. I'm going to try to remember that because like when you try to, you know, do those things that make me want to wonder.
But you know, babes.
You can
just tell the Lord lost faith in his heart.
You know, I'm going to remember that, babe, just keep committing yourself to him that judges righteously. So that the day Sarkis wakes you up in the middle of the night and is like, babe, whatever it is, I'm so sorry. I'll just be like, ha, righteous God.
Awesome. And it's just beautiful. In other words, God is saying, you know what? I've got your back in your marriage.
Yeah, true.
Even when it looks like you are the fool for submitting, God says, I've got your back. I'm the one that judges righteously. And you know, God knows how to balance the accounts. It may not happen in one day, it may not happen in a week, but trust me, God sure knows how to keep the records and set them straight.
Wow. So I hope this has been super helpful to you. It has helped me. It's helping us reevaluate.
Yes.
So as we say these things too, we have to go back and, you know, put in some practice.
I'm really blessed, especially by the things you said.
Yeah,
you know?
And because I have a professor in the house, I'm always blessed. So
please
don't envy me. I'm just a blessed somebody to have, you know, such a wise man. Thank you so much, babe, for this is Kez. I mean, anytime Kez is on this, you guys know that you're getting some deep-seated wisdom. So thank you.
Thank God for his
mercies,
babes.
Yeah. So as we always do, babe, do you want to pray for them? Just commit them into God's hands as we wrap this up.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you for an awesome time of discussion. Thank you for our hearers, the people that heard us, our audience. Lord, we bring them before you. You know where they are on their individual journeys in terms of their relationships. Lord, for the ones that are believing you for spouses, the ones that are on the road towards marriage consummation, and even the ones that are married, Lord, you will break this into bits for them. You will teach them the path of submission and the path of love. You will teach them their roles, O God. Your spirit will guide them. For the ones that have challenges in the area of submission, Lord, you will teach them. You will give them the grace.
Amen.
For the ones that are dealing with unlovable spouses in relationships, Lord, you will give them wisdom. You will give them wisdom. Your love, you will teach them to love their spouses unconditionally.
Amen.
You will give them grace to love their spouses unconditionally. The ones that find themselves stuck, the ones that find themselves in loveless relationships, we ask that you will breathe afresh upon these relationships. Let your life come upon these relationships.
Amen.
Let your love be manifested like never before.
Amen.
Let your spirit begin to move to uproot the things that resist the will and the purpose and your purposes in their lives and in their homes.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And let your kingdom come and let your will be done. For we know that your will is that what you have joined together, let no man put asunder. We thank you and we give you praise. For we know you've heard us, for we've prayed in the name of your Son, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Safe, stay well, and God bless you. So until we see you guys again.
Yes. And you forgot to mention of the prayer hangout for couples.
Yeah, so we have something we're planning for couples. I'm sure people who are engaged can also come pray.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So we would, as we begin to tie up, the whole preparations, we would let you know when it's happening, where it's happening, and we pray and we trust God that you all will be available. For those of you who can make it, you make it, and that you'll be thoroughly blessed. So thank you once again. We appreciate you, and till we'll talk to you another time.
God bless you.
Yes.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.